Hello and welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig and I am your host. So today is a continuation of our addiction series and we are going to talk about nicotine. So nicotine is usually best known because it is the active drug that is in tobacco. So it has been a part of our culture and a part of the product use of many people around the globe for generations. And our ability to understand and know how it works has progressed since then. And even our delivery system has changed. So now, not only do you have tobacco and of course, even certain kinds of dip, but you also have different vaping pens or devices that will deliver nicotine into you just a little bit different way and with a little less contamination than typical tobacco products like cigarettes. So I want to talk about the drug nicotine. A lot of us know or it's well accepted that tobacco is not something that's really great for you. And in fact, it's pretty awful. And I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that since it's something that's generally well known. Instead, I want to focus on the drug nicotine so that we can also understand what different vaping devices like Juuls, Boulders, Sorens, I think there's even one called Sticks, different apparatuses like that that are a little bit newer so we can understand how those affect our brain and our body as well. So whenever nicotine enters the bloodstream, it will affect the brain by, just like many other drugs, it will start to hack into our systems that are already in place. So our brain has this system that nicotine acts in, and we'll just call them nicotine receptors. So it will release this neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, and this will attach the nicotine receptors, and quite a few things will happen. So nicotine is known as one of the most addictive drugs in the world, and for good reason. Not only does this increase in acetylcholine in our brain cause the pleasure center of our brain to release more dopamine. Now, remember that dopamine released in the pleasure center makes us feel good. So it's kind of like that positive reinforcement. It makes us feel good about whenever we use nicotine. But also we get extra glutamate that gets released in different parts of our brain, including the part of our brain that will kind of encode memories. And what glutamate does is it helps make more solid memory connections. And what this means is our brain has a much clearer picture of how good we felt using that. So these are different methods, not only dopamine increase, but the more solid connection that our memories have to how good we felt that help solidify our desire to continue to use nicotine. So this is something that's actually really, really important to know because nicotine is so addictive because of its activation of those two different systems, right? And like we said, with any other type of drug, is the more and more that you use a drug, the brain will then substitute or it'll alter and adjust so that its own neurotransmitter production will decrease internally because of the external neurotransmitters, the external activity that is happening. So not only do you have these good memories and the good feelings that reinforce it, but also, like I said, the brain will adapt. And of course, with any type of nicotine products, you get different types of withdrawals and cravings as well, because it is such a strong bond, which is something that nicotine is really famous for. I think a lot of people would talk about the tobacco monkey or different things on your back through different advertising campaigns and efforts to get people to stop tobacco products. So with the introduction of using different vaping pens or anything like that, it was really seen as a way of circumventing a lot of the harmful effects of tobacco, which it is. From a safety standpoint, see, with substance use, there are two avenues. You got the avenue of complete abstinence or sobriety from any type of substance. Then you got the other camp that's kind of like with harm reduction, right? We can accept that people are going to use different drugs or they're going to take certain inherent risk. So we want to reduce the harm that is going to take place. And a lot of the push towards people using these vape pens are a harm reduction type thing where it's like, all right, we understand that people are addicted to nicotine and we want to make sure that they can use that nicotine in a safer way. And that's whenever we get different vape pens, which if you're very familiar with the news more recently, we're finding out there's more and more issues with them, including popcorn lung, which is where some of the glycerin or the vegetable glycerin, depending on what type of glycerin you have, will start to coat the lungs and it will block different air pockets in the lungs and will cause them to get inflamed and a bunch of horrible things end up happening and can lead to death. There are other people too that have experienced other issues with these vaping pens, and that there's all kinds of different reasons, and there's large investigations going on, and there is suspicions around the devices that are used being misused, or rather used for other substances. Actually, there's been a surge in using different types of vape pens for THC oil, and a lot of the THC oil is being investigated for possibly causing some of the issues or the respiratory issues that people are having, considering the vegetable glycerin using the nicotine concoction and the oils used for the THC that's put in some of these vape pens are very different. But like I said, there's still a lot of investigation around it. However, we do know that there is a consistency. Whenever you're using these vape pens, you can get a lot more potency in whatever drug delivery is happening. So with nicotine vape pens, especially like some of those ones I listed earlier, like the Juul, Soarin, Boulder, different things like that, in America, there isn't a lot of nicotine regulation. In fact, there's hardly any. And because of that, in America, you can get Juuls that will put out a large, large amount of nicotine in each puff. Where if you went to other countries, that's not. There's certain regulation to it. So it's actually very different than smoking a cigarette or anything like that. The nicotine count is much higher. And that's causing a lot of different issues, including increased rates at which younger kids, especially since most type of advertising efforts went towards them with these different vape pens. But we know that the addiction process happens very quickly when you're getting hit with such a large amount, large doses of nicotine, and it creates this huge issue in schools. I'm kind of remembering back to whenever I worked with substance abuse with adolescents, that many of them would tell me stories if they would use these different vape pens about how they were just waiting for a passing period so they could run to the bathroom and take a few hits, or they'd wait for the teacher to turn around so they could take a hit or something really quickly in class, since a lot of them are, you can get odorless ones, or in a big classroom, even though they may be flavored, the teacher may not necessarily notice. And because some of them are so small, about the size of a flash drive, it would be hard to really tell. And they'd be talking about a bunch of kids going into the bathroom so they could, take their hits in between school in the passing periods, because they couldn't go to the end of the day without it. That kind of behavior is very addict-like, and it's actually very reminiscent, whereas early research is starting to suggest that having this high of nicotine use is very much similar to how cocaine is, as far as how it is working in the brain, the level of intensity with some of the withdrawals and the cravings, because it is a stimulant, right? It's probably something I should have mentioned a little bit earlier, is that nicotine is a stimulant, and as a stimulant, we know that it takes a certain course of action where it will increase your heart rate, your blood pressure. And if you have anxiety, while in the short term your anxiety may decrease because of that dopamine that you're feeling, the good feelings associated with it. Overall, in the long term, your anxiety will go up because you're introducing a stimulant to your system again and again and again, and it starts to change your threshold in which your body is used to operating. So it becomes harder for your body to operate in a calm state, which means that anxiety and stress can be triggered much easier, as we've kind of talked about in previous episodes. So nicotine is an interesting drug because it's one of the few drugs that many doctors or even researchers would argue is actually pretty healthy for the brain, or can have some good effects. The challenge is, like it is with many drugs, is that our nicotine system, our nicotine receptors in our brain are very wide spreading, and that means that we can't necessarily control how much there is, which is why, I mean, a lot of people smoke cigarettes, or they use tobacco products that have nicotine, or they use these nicotine products because of how addictive it is. But there are some benefits. Like I said, you can have different cognitive benefits from the slight stimulant effect. You can have different memory boost from the glutamate. Even though it's normally just centered around the pleasure part and helping you remember that, those tags can also obviously be transferred to other memories. So people, whenever they are smoking, they may be able to remember things a little more acutely. Whether or not that's a big boost or not, that would be a little bit debatable. But there are certain inherent boosts to having a little bit of stimulant in your system that can also be attributed to nicotine. A lot of the issues actually come from the delivery system, right? Where we're talking about the tobacco, you have a very large amount of chemicals that are going into your lungs, including different carcinogens. The vape pens have different types of tips that can release different carcinogens depending on if you have high quality or low quality. The oils or the glycerins that are the mediums that hold the nicotine are sometimes considered to be toxic or causing issues in our lungs later on. And more research that we have will reveal more and more about that stuff. But from where we're standing right now and are looking at it, it's still, while safer than tobacco, these vape pens and these delivery devices, it's safer, but it's still dangerous, right? It's still dangerous. And nicotine in itself, it can be a dangerous drug because it's very much related to gateways for other type of non-healthy types of living, and especially difficulty sleeping, right? Whenever people have nicotine addiction, they are typically even using their nicotine devices even close to whenever they go to bed, which means that it is making them that, you know, like with any type of drug, if you take it too close to bed and it doesn't have the chance to eliminate from your system, it starts to affect your sleep. And this becomes a huge issue because, like we've kind of spoke about before, and I will have a dedicated episode for this at some point, is sleep is one of the biggest indicators of developing any type of mental or even sometimes physical health issues. There are so many things that happen with sleep that help us, and whenever that is disrupted, it causes a lot of issues, including whenever we start to skip different stages of sleep, which is normally what ends up happening whenever we use different types of drugs. So stimulants make it harder to sleep, make you more restless while you're sleeping, which means that you actually get less restful sleep, and your chances of spending more and more time in REM sleep actually end up going down. Like I said, we'll have a dedicated episode to this, but just kind of know for now that that is not a good thing. And whenever you wake up and you're tired, and you've had quite a bit of stimulant the night before you went to bed, you can feel it. You know, it's just like anybody that drinks a big old 32-ounce soda and they go to bed. You know, because of that stimulant, you're going to skip different stages of sleep. In fact, you're not really even supposed to have caffeine after 2 or 3 o'clock. If you're going to try to go to bed, about 5 to 7 hours after that, right? So it's something that is very important just to keep in the back of our minds. And because the distance between, whenever we might use those these types of drugs like nicotine, and the sleep is so great. You know, you can, have a hit of nicotine and then go to sleep a couple hours later, and then you don't notice the effects until you wake up the next morning and you're really tired and you need to, have another hit of nicotine to kind of do a perk up in the morning. It's hard for the brain to relate those two being connected, right? It's hard for us to know that. And the only way that we do know is just from the research that's done around it and in general what we know about how stimulants affect sleep, right? We know that it makes it harder to go to sleep. We know that people are more restless whenever they go to sleep, which equates to more difficulty sleeping and less restful sleep, less quality of a sleep, which causes issues with our mental health over the long term. So I hope that this kind of gives you a little bit of idea. Like I said, the mental health issues that are related to nicotine itself aren't very intense compared to some other drugs, but the effects that it ends up having on us with our lifestyle or our possible physical health are, it's really the areas that cause different types of issues. And the fact that this nicotine, especially with new nicotine delivery systems that I've been talking about, creates a lot of issues with increasing nicotine dependence. And just like anything, whenever you use too much of it, it starts to cause more and more and more and more issues because our brain will adapt to it. And whenever our brain adapts to it, that means it stops using its own local resources to do different things that we might need. And of course, like I said, the sleep disruption causes a major issues later on. And we will be finding out more and more information as more and more research is done, since there's a lot of movement with the nicotine devices and everything, especially recently. That's a fast evolving field of commerce, and it's a fast evolving field of science as we're trying to explore this. Whereas we have a much better understanding of how nicotine works, having more understanding of what large and potent amounts of nicotine do to us, and what these different delivery systems and what the different products that we combine it with or anything like that do, that's much more up in the air as we're trying to continue to discover it, especially as there are some more deaths that are surrounding this and more questions around it. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you in some way. And like I said, we'd plan on updating it as more information comes out about it. And of course, if you have any questions about any of these devices or anything like that in regards to nicotine, I'd be happy to answer those questions. You just have to reach out and contact me at Craig, that's C-R-A-I-G, at lifecarecounselingstl.com. And I'll look forward to next time whenever I believe I'm actually going to be continuing the trauma series here in early December. And I've been asked to talk about a kind of number of other issues besides addiction related, more focused on the anxiety and the social anxiety aspects and of mental health. And I look forward to bringing those to you as well. So until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.